The Lord be with you. This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to us. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" And this is the gospel of the Lord. He was a young scholar, theologian, and pastor. And he was not only brilliant, he was well received. His books were already in great circulation. And in 1939, he was teaching and working at the seminary right near John the Divine, Union Theological Seminary. He was safe from the war that was about to engulf his homeland. He could have stayed safe. He could have remained in New York as war raged in Europe. His friends told him, "Stay put, you're safe here." And had he stayed here, he could have had a brilliant career. But there was something in this young man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that said to him, "You must return. You must go back and be with your people, because they need a pastor more than anyone here in New York needs you." And so, against the recommendations of his friends, probably against his own sense of self-preservation, Bonhoeffer took the last steamer across the ocean to return to Germany and to lead his people, to guide his people, to pastor his people, and to oppose the tyranny of Adolf Hitler. That took courage, but he knew it was something he must do. In the gospel today, we see Pharisees coming up to Jesus to warn him that Herod is trying to kill him. They say, "Go someplace else, anywhere. Go off course, though. Don't go to Jerusalem. This guy's murderous." Now, we don't know if these Pharisees were friends or foes. We do know that Jesus had Pharisees who were his disciples, like Nicodemus. But we know this: whatever their motive, Jesus listened to what they had to say and responded in much the same way that Bonhoeffer would so many thousand years later. He said, "Go and tell that fox that I'm doing what my father told me to do. I'm healing. I'm casting out demons. And on the third day it will be complete." What he's saying is that whatever Herod is up to, and we know Herod was a murderous thug, right? His father was such a murderer that he actually killed three of his sons. The emperor at the time said it's safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's child. The Herod that we're talking about now, Herod Antipas, had already killed Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. Herod was a threat and would be a threat. But Jesus isn't afraid of Herod, because he knows that Herod is just an agent of evil. He's an agent of Satan. He's doing the work of the liar prince. And Jesus says, I must be on my way. The little word in Greek that's a giveaway in that sentence is day, delta, iota, epsilon iota. And it means must. It's called the divine imperative. Whenever you see it, you have to see God's will in it. It must be done. It's God's will that it be done. And so Jesus is saying, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem, and I know what waits for me there. I know that it's the city where the prophets are killed. I know it's where I will meet my death. Satan is trying to say, this is a temptation. Satan is trying to tempt Jesus at a moment of strength. He couldn't win when Jesus was hungry in the desert. Now Jesus has crowds following him. He's doing healings and he's teaching. He's casting out demons. He's on top of his game. And Satan comes along through these Pharisees, perhaps unknowingly, and he says, look, you're on top of your game. Why should it end? You're doing good work. Get out of the line of fire. Go someplace else. And Jesus will have none of it, because Jesus must do what his Father is asking him to do. He must go to Jerusalem. He must wage a war against death and sickness. That's why he does cures. That's why he casts out demons. And on the third day, it will be complete. He will, on the third day, rise after giving his life for us and for every forsaken sinner who struggles and needs and is lost. And that's his mission. He will not forsake it. And then he says, look, Jerusalem, how often have I wanted to gather you like your children, like chicks under my wings. He uses this beautiful image of a hen protecting her chickens, her little children, her chickens, chicks. And that's how God loves us. And he says to us, he says, each one of us, to all of us, let me protect you, because nothing else can. Nothing else. Your power, your wealth, your stockpile of food, whatever you're doing to prepare for the worst, that won't protect you. But I'll protect you, like that hen gathering its chicks. What's the challenge of the gospel today? The challenge of the gospel is first to realize and to accept and to embrace the idea that only God can save us. Missiles can't save us. Politicians certainly can't save us. Nothing can save us. Our 401ks, our wealth, nothing. Only God is sovereign over the world. And when we place our trust in God and snuggle under the Lord's wings like little chicks, then we will be safe no matter what happens. But the other challenge of this gospel is to be disciples of Christ, to learn from him. Because Christianity doesn't mean sitting in a church once a week, listening to somebody like me go on and on, praying a little bit, singing a few songs. That's not Christianity. Christianity is being a disciple of Christ. What's a disciple? A disciple is somebody who learns from a master. So what do we have here that we can learn? we can learn that Christianity requires courage, because the Lord himself had courage. If you went to Plato to find out what courage, Aristotle rather, you would hear that courage is a mean between two extremes. You can be foolhardy, that's too much courage. You can be cowardly, that's too little courage. Or you can be right there in the middle, and that's courage. But Jesus tells us something different about courage. Jesus says that courage is the will to do what the Father requires of us, no matter what the opposition. Courage means that we, like Jesus, must discern our divine imperative. What must we do? And there are big divine imperatives, and there are little ones every day. I must be kind. I must love people who I don't even like. I must be just to people. I must be like my compassionate Savior, willing to give without counting the cost. See, when we realize that we must do God's will, then we also realize that Christianity isn't cheap. Christianity requires everything of us. It requires that we, like Jesus, like Bonhoeffer, risk our lives to accomplish what God is calling out for us to do. And what God asks us is simple yet profound. He says, go and love abundantly. Love your family, love people you don't agree with, love your enemies, love the foreigners and the strangers among us. Love, love, love. But that love takes the form of being disciples of truth. We don't love people when we tell them what they want to hear. We don't love people when we tell them what we think they want to hear. We don't love people when we pander to the crowd. We don't love people when we fall for anything because it's popular. We love people when we stand up for God's own truth, no matter what the world is telling us to believe. Because the world tells us to believe a lot of things that, quite honestly, are ridiculous. New York recently has come out with a list of 72 genders you can pick from. Do you think that's stupid or what? And the right response isn't to tolerate the intolerable, to say, yeah, we should teach all the kids in school about the 72 genders. No. It's to oppose that, because in opposing that nonsense, we stand up for God's truth. And when we stand up for God's truth, we are doing the work of Christ, no matter what the opposition might be. Are they going to call us nasty? Are they going to call us intolerant? Are they going to call us all sorts of names, bitter people clinging to our Bibles? Who cares what they say? And who cares what they think of us? Francis of Assisi once said, we are what we are in the eyes of God, nothing more. And by extension, nothing less. And so as Bonhoeffer had the courage to oppose tyranny in his day, don't we need to have the courage to oppose tyranny in our day? Without sugarcoating it, without accepting the unacceptable, without bending the word of God to fit the messaging of the modern world or the postmodern world. We live in an age of lies. They lie to us on the news, they lie to us in the press, they lie to us everywhere you go, you hear deceit. There is one place you go and you find truth, and it is in God's word. And we have a responsibility not to accept the messaging of the world at face value, but to dig in and find what God is really saying. Because Bonhoeffer discerned in 1939 that Hitler was an evil guy, and he was, that he needed to go and oppose him as he pastored his people in Germany. Today, we have the same challenge. The evil is no less virulent in our day than it was in his. What we need to do is stand together, and stand for God's word, and speak the truth in season and out of season, no matter what the cost. Because what does it profit, Jesus says in another place in the scriptures, what does it profit us if we lose, if we gain the world, but lose our souls? And so the world can take this life from us, but it cannot take the life that God has given us that is eternal. And we need now, as individuals and as a community, to stand together and announce to each other that we will stand for Christ. We will do the work of God today and tomorrow and the next day. We will join ourselves to the Christ who carries his cross. And if that means we are following him to death, so be it. Bonhoeffer wrote, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. The Christ that we follow bids to us to come, to carry, pick up our crosses, to carry them daily where the Father leads us, and to have no other desire than to please God, regardless what the world may say of us. Amen.